You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The 2019 Idaho legislative session wrapped up last week after more than 90 days. And when this session started in January, legislators were facing four big issues: health care, tax revenue, school funding, and prison policy. Now, when the session ended, lawmakers had put off making decisions on three of those four issues, instead focusing much of their attention on Medicaid expansion and restricting future voter initiatives, which brought Governor Little's first veto. Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson covered the session from start to finish, and he is joining me live in studio to give us a behind-the-scenes look at this year's session. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here, Gemma.
Okay, so Jimmy, let's just start at the beginning of the session. It seemed business as usual.
Yeah, no, totally. It was pretty upbeat. I mean, I think you had a lot of fanfare around the new governor. You know, Butch Otter had been in office for 12 years at that point, so you're getting some fresh blood there. He had had good relationships with the legislature at that point. You had a lot of new members come in as well to the legislature. I mean, there was a huge freshman class. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the first day of school, right, where everyone's just getting to know each other, saying, hey, how's it going? Like, let's get into the rhythm of things. People were smiling in the hallway, which wasn't the case at the end of the session. So not much happened immediately. It took about a month before things to finally get settled in.
Okay, so talk to me about that. Was there a tipping point or a specific event or incident that happened that really started to change the dynamic of this session?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to February, and that's when you had this proposal that would have had a constitutional amendment to change how Idaho redraws its legislative district lines as well as its congressional lines. And so that would have added a seventh member to that committee that would have been appointed by whichever party's in power. So that would be the Republicans for the past couple decades, right? Though they argued, well, in the future, Democrats could also have the advantage in that point. But then it also lowered the threshold needed to pass any plan. So right now, you do need at least one Democrat on that commission to approve any kind of plan. And this would have made it, oh, well, we have four votes. Great. Let's go with it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's when kind of we started. Would you call it, I mean, I don't want to put like words in legislators' mouths, but it seemed like all of a sudden there were some scuffles and some fighting and not happy people within the legislature.
No, and that was immediate, too. I mean, it was the constitutional amendment got introduced, I think, maybe a day or two later. It had its public hearing. Democrats, I think, actually walked out of that hearing, if I remember correctly, in protest. And then it got sent to the floor. And this is actually kind of where things got a little heated, because if you've ever been to the legislature, you know that the clerk will read the bill, you know, kind of going through the process. And people kind of zone out in that moment because they say, oh, you don't need to read the entire bill. Let's just say we read it, right? Well, Democrats were objecting to each and every bill. So basically, it would have taken hours to get anything done. And then they eventually pulled that constitutional amendment back.
Oh, was there a renewed maybe energy or vigor within the Democratic Party? And I ask that because it does seem like in the past they understand as a party that they have to work with the party that is in power. But man, they seem to let their voices be heard, at least when it came to the media, contacting the media, things like that.
Yeah, I think so, and especially because they picked up a few seats. I mean, they flipped two seats over in West Boise, and that's why I think the redistricting thing hit home pretty hard, because after the census comes in 2020, then that means that Republicans conceivably could redistrict those areas to try and prevent Democrats from taking back those seats.
I'm speaking with James Dawson. He is a Boise State Public Radio news reporter and covered the legislature this session. And we're kind of digging into what really happened. Okay, so then we had Medicaid expansion. And this, as we know, was passed by a ballot initiative in November by 61% of voters in Idaho. Legislators come into session in January and are basically given a mandate by Governor Little that they will fund this and they will not go home until they do.
And I thought that was pretty remarkable because it was actually one of the only times Governor Little actually came out ahead of the issue and said, hey, this is where I'm at. We have to fund it. Now, yes, I do support some kind of whether it was a work training program mm-hmm. or some kind of work requirements. Maybe I think he said we want some spring in the state's social safety net is how he put it. But that was one of the times where things had not been decided. No bill had been presented. But he was like, yeah, no, this is where I stand. And you know where I stand now.
So walk us through this, because there were many iterations of what this should look like. And we do know that one side of the aisle, the Democrats, just what they call wanted a clean bill, what the voters passed. Were there Republicans who felt similar? And what was the dynamic really between these lawmakers? Because this was something that got heated and continued to be heated until the day the session ended.
Yeah, until about last week.
Right. I mean, and it probably still is today. It's just that they're not in session anymore.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, there were probably six or seven iterations of this bill. It all started with a group of Republicans from the House. I believe there were some members of the Senate, too, in that group that were just kind of meeting on the side trying to figure out, well, which kind of, they call them sideboards, is like the jargony term for it.
Think of a buffet, like you go to the side of a buffet and you pick something extra up.
Exactly. Yeah. So they were like, okay, well, what do we want to tack on? And they came up with a list of, I think one of the sponsors told me maybe about a dozen or so initially, and that was not ever put into a bill form. They kind of tapered it down a little bit. I think they had some conversations maybe with the governor's office, and he's like, yeah, I don't really like some of these, so we're gonna trim it down. A couple attempts actually tried to completely repeal Medicaid expansion, and we just saw so many people give hours and hours of testimony for each of these bills. And eventually, I mean, the Senate tried to block these mandatory work requirements. The Democrats actually kind of tried to compromise a little bit with Senator Fred Martin, especially, who wanted this voluntary work training program, which didn't make it into the final bill, by the way. And House Republicans amended that out, put back in the mandatory work requirements. And there was really a genuine split on that issue. And the most dramatic moment, I thought, was this committee hearing in the Senate where they were taking up the mandatory work requirements bill. And then suddenly this guy comes up. He was representing a hospital, I believe, in Burley, if I remember right. And he said, well, I had this whole speech prepared, but looking at his phone, this federal judge in D.C. just struck down work requirements for Arkansas and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And everyone was just like, oh, audible gasp in the room. And they kind of shut everything down, held the bill in committee. And then it took about a week before House Republicans kind of drew up their version of what they thought would be acceptable by a federal court.
And then we have the Senate Bill 1159, what Democrats called the Revenge on Voters bill. But this was an initiative to move to make it harder to get voter initiatives on the ballot, similar to how Medicaid expansion got on the ballot.
Yeah, and depending on who you talk to, I mean, I heard from several people who said this would pretty much make it impossible, like practically impossible to get any kind of initiative on the ballot. We're talking collecting nearly twice as many signatures in a third of the time they have now with 1159. And you had a remarkable breadth of opposition to this. I mean, you had a letter from four former attorneys general, three of whom were Republicans. You had former Secretary of State Ben Yasursa all saying, you know, this is going to get challenged in court. Why do we want to try to pass something that's going to be challenged and probably thrown out in court, which is what Governor Brad Little eventually cited in his veto stamp letter.
What was the emotion like with lawmakers with this Senate bill? Because from our perspective, it was heated and there were incredibly unhappy lawmakers, Democrat lawmakers in particular, about this bill.
You also had a lot of genuinely upset Republicans, mm-hmm. too. I mean, this, if we're talking about 1159, the original bill,
right.
It passed the Senate by one vote. So you had a lot of Republicans who did stand up and you know, frankly, just yell about, we don't need this. This is going to be bad for us. We think that voters should have an outlet or release valve, if you want, mm-hmm. in case, you know, you take the Medicaid example. We didn't act on it for 6 years here in the legislature, so the citizens took it up themselves. You also had a lot of pushback against one of the sponsors, Senator Scott Groh, who, you know, through my reporting, found out that he was collaborating with payday loan company Money mm-hmm. Tree and everything like that. And it just all kind of combined into almost near daily protests, really.
Right. And to give people a perspective, especially for people who are potentially, you know, maybe haven't been in Idaho for, you know, maybe just a year or two, we don't necessarily see such a pushback from Republicans on a bill that is sponsored by a Republican.
Oh, yeah. So in the House specifically, it kind of seems like if you're going back into your political memory on the national
right.
level, the Denny Hassert rule, which mm-hmm. is basically we want to pass all bills with a majority of our own party, right? And that seems to really be kind of the operating assumption in the House, especially under House Speaker Scott Bedke. I mean, we asked him several times throughout the session, hey, Democrats say they're willing to compromise a little bit on the Medicaid expansion thing with the voluntary work requirement. He's like, yeah, we don't have the votes in my caucus, so we're not going to run it. So that's kind of the landscape that,
right.
that we saw all session.
Which is fascinating. Okay, so very quickly, before I let you go, a lot left on the table. I'm actually looking at your notes. You have a reporter notebook that goes into two pages of what was left on the table. But also, could we see a special session?
Well, I asked Governor Brad Little that yesterday. He said, no, not going to see a special session because lawmakers, the last thing that they arguably didn't do, if depending on which side of the persuasion you're on, mm-hmm. they did not renew the 8,000 pages of administrative rules.
Right.
So he says, nope, they're going to be turned into temporary rules. We got this covered. Don't worry about it. The thing left on the table there, though, is that means that both the House and Senate are going to have to come back and agree on these rules next year. And they don't genuinely agree
well,
on
they didn't,
a lot of things.
Well, they didn't agree on it before they left this session.
Right. Right. Yeah, because you have some House Republicans who really want to take an axe to that administrative rule book. They think that there are too many regulations already and we need to trim them. Not to mention there are controversial things like teaching kids in public schools about climate change, mm-hmm. Vaccine requirements for those public school kids, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just one thing, but no special session. You've got hemp. Obviously, still illegal to have mm-hmm. and transport in Idaho. Mandatory minimums passed the House again, didn't get taken up in the Senate. The new $500 million prison that was proposed, nothing but Governor Brad Little did propose getting more probation and parole officers and having more work release programs mm-hmm. to try and transition people out of our overcrowded prisons and such.
Just to...
I've got more.
I know. We could go on all day. You know, I appreciate this, Jimmy, especially from you being at the session. We don't sometimes get that reporter, you know, perspective and notebook on what it's like to be there day in and day out. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, always happy to come in.
My guest today, Boise State Public News reporter James Dawson. You probably need a vacation.
I'm going on one tomorrow.
There you go.